everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
In the NFL, can't be embarrassed by
Oh, I think you can. I think you can
be embarrassed.
The Jetsing, the Browns Browning, entrenched and entrenched, and the Lamar Jackson revolution with this panel. Let's go.
Winning in the trench.
Yes.
Part of that revolution.
Wow.
How about those Chargers?
Well, I saw your columns last week. We'll get to that. Yeah.
L.A. or San Diego?
Darius Spain, Kevin Blackstone, you were on the show Friday. Do you have the Patriots or Ravens? I know exactly what you had. You have a mute right now. Bill Plaschke, Frank Isola, you were on last Monday's show. Were you talking up the Patriots defense as all-timey? I know exactly where you are right now. A mute for you and you. How the Ravens clocked New England. How Lamar Jackson took a defense that was allowing 7 points a game and jammed it down their throat. How Baltimore won 37-20. Frank, I sold it first to you. Last night, tell you more about the Ravens or the Patriots.
Well, it told me a lot about the Ravens because they could run the ball and that quarterback is absolutely terrific. Remember this about the Patriots. Their defense had only given up four offensive touchdowns, clearly. Last night, Baltimore scored four offensive touchdowns. So they were completely outclassed, but they had won 13 straight games dating back to last year. They were due for a game like this. And I vaguely remember them losing to Miami last season with Gronkowski playing free safety and the sky was supposedly falling. So we've been through this before with the Patriots.
I think then I'll ask Kevin Blackstone, was this more about the Ravens to you or that the Patriots are human?
It's more about the Ravens and the fact that the Patriots really had not played a quarterback as good as Lamar Jackson. We talked about that last week. I mean, really, the only starter they had played was Ben Roethlisberger early in the year. Everyone else was an also-ran, a fill-in, a backup, something like that. And this guy is absolutely special. And the other thing that was kind of exposed about the Patriots just a little bit in this is their offensive line. Tom Brady didn't have much time to pass. I mean, he got sacked early. Remember, they've replaced left tackles, they replace centers. They are in a little bit of disarray on that offensive line, but this one goes definitely to the
Ravens. Spain?
It's the Patriots. We've seen Lamar Jackson and the Ravens be good. We've seen him improve his pocket passing. We've seen them be able to use him as a weapon that sets up Ingram for big games as well. This is about the Patriots, because as Kevin alluded to, it was the likes of Rosen, Falk, Allen, Barkley, McCoy that we saw. So we were talking about them as through this part of the season, the greatest defense of all time. Now, that's not to say that they aren't still a good defense, but they have come much more down to earth in facing a team that could game plan well against them than the Ravens have stepped up, in my book, from what I already expected out of them. This is absolutely about now what we see from the Patriots defense going forward, and a team that actually looked at Bill Belichick and everything he threw at them, which was everything, and still
All right, so you're recalibrating in your own personal record book. Bill Plaschke, how about you?
I agree with Sarah. It's about the Patriots. Did anybody see anything that's going to change when these two teams play again 2 months from now? The Ravens ran the ball down their throats, scored more rushing touchdowns than the Patriots had allowed in previous eight games combined, over 170 yards before contact, 210 yards rushing. I don't think that changes. And I don't think, and Sarah made a good point about Brady and his offensive line, 44% Brady was against the blitz. No touchdowns, one interception when he's under pressure. I think the Ravens, the whole mix of the Ravens and the Patriots, the Ravens look like a better team. I think they are a better team. It shows me the Patriots may not be the team to beat now.
But you're all viewing it from the Patriots' perspective. What do the Ravens have to do? What do the Ravens have to do, Frank Isola?
Well, I think they have to continue what they're doing, running the ball. And I still think it's up to Lamar Jackson to continue to prove, because everyone now wants to jump to conclusions. Remember, he's had one playoff game in his career, did not play well. They also lost to Cleveland on their home field. Then they went to Kansas City and got outclassed there, too. So I'm not going crazy after one.
You're talking about everybody thinks this. Chris Collinsworth, I think, is who you're talking about, Frank Isola. Did you hear him on the game cast last night? That this was going to be one of those moments in time. You look back and they say, remember the night Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, took apart the Patriots? Are you with them, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, yeah, because this was very memorable. Everybody was tuned into this, and from the opening drive, it looked like Lamar Jackson was going to own the Patriots. It was absolutely brilliant. And so as this season goes on, this will be the mark. This will be the moment that everybody remembers, pinning that loss, that first loss.
Oh, I think Collinsworth is speaking more to Lamar Jackson, though, maybe, and changing a revolution, sure. A revelation. Sarah, you're nodding your head in approval.
Well, game one of the season was a revelation for Lamar Jackson, right? And we thought that that was going to be built upon, and then it came down to earth a little bit. But this adds to it, and none of us have mentioned the fact that the Patriots and Belichick and Brady had won 21 straight against first and second year quarterbacks, and in comes Lamar Jackson to say, I don't care about that stat, that's not important. That's maybe why we'll look back and say this is the moment when he became what could eventually be a great.
Blaschke, do you see this as a history-changing moment in the NFL? I mean, that's basically what Collinsworth's saying.
Oh, I see it as a moment where the Ravens, you know, apply their dominance over the Patriots, and it's something that's going to stick. Jackson plays outside the box. You don't know what he's going to do. Belichick can't prepare for him. I don't care how much he adjusts to him. He does something you don't think he's going to do. I think, yes. I think now, are the Ravens better than the Chiefs? I don't know. But I think they're better than the Patriots.
MVP chance for Lamar Jackson last night. Anybody swayed there? Frank Isola, you?
To me, it's still Russell Wilson the way that he's played. Lamar Jackson has been very good. Their ability to run the ball is why they won last night.
Yeah, it's still Russell Wilson. I mean, he's leading the league in rating, 22-1 touchdown to interception ratio right now, throwing the receivers he didn't even have on the team. That's brilliant.
We'll move on. Dolphins 26, Jets 18. Adam Gase says, you can't be embarrassed in the NFL. Do you guys agree that you can't be embarrassed in the NFL?
Firmly.
The Dolphins fail at tanking. Check out this photo of Brian Flores getting the Gatorade shower. Photographer Alan Eyestone here. But the Jets fail at not tanking. Sarah, how bad is that for New York? Is this rock bottom moment where you have to consider drastic change?
Let me start by saying I'm not on the Bears, and I am deeply embarrassed by that team. So I think, yes, even in the NFL, you could be embarrassed by something. There's 10 offensive touchdowns in 11 games. He's got more double-digit losses as a head coach than he has victories. You can absolutely be embarrassed. You can be embarrassed when you're a 1-7 team, and you're still pointing to one specific game as the lowest moment of the season, which is what yesterday was. There's any number of reasons for them to be embarrassed. The problem is, if they fire Adam Gase, they'll be paying three coaches next season. I still think they probably should. I still think drastic changes are needed, but it just reminds you of why some teams continue to be stuck in the mire, because it's mistakes built upon other mistakes.
Bill Plaschke, drastic changes for the Jets now?
Well, first, I think Frank knows is the one to go to about embarrassment in the NFL. He knows all about that in New York every weekend.
Got two of them.
Listen to Plaschke.
But I think definitely embarrassing. Yes, I think it's rock bottom. What was he hired to do? He's hired to fix Sam Darnold, to make Sam Darnold a better quarterback. Did you see that interception Sam Darnold threw at the end in the end zone? Yeah. His fourth red zone interception this year? That was the worst pass I've ever seen. And against a team that's trying to lose, the team that beat you with Mike Gesicki, with Preston Williams, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Gase is not working there.
Hold on one second. You brought up Frank's embarrassment in his NFL franchise. Kevin, where are you? Washington. Sarah, where are you? Chicago. I think everybody's going to lose some points for that. Frank, speak to me about Adam Gase specifically. Has he lost this team?
Well, first of all, Bill, Giants, Jets next week. Come stay at my house. We'll go to the game together and we'll watch an embarrassing performance. Oh, I'm not going to say he's lost the team yet. First of all, it's all about the relationship between the quarterback and the head coach. Now, I don't think the quarterback is improving. Maybe you can blame some of that on him having mono or this season. You're going to need to see some development over these last 2 months of the season, or else the head coach is going to be in trouble. I'm not pushing the panic, but I understand it's an awful loss. But to Sarah's point, the Jets constantly do this. They get rid of coaches. I didn't think they should have gotten rid of Todd Bowles. Right when you're starting to get, you know, you see something happening, then they change.
Actually, let me fine tune that. Has Adam Gase lost his way? Sarah gave the stat before. It's an incredible stat. He has more double digit losses than
wins as a career head coach, Frank?
I just don't think the talent is there right now. It's still about the development of Sam Darnold.
And do you see development, Kevin Blackstone and Sam Darnold?
I didn't after yesterday. I mean, a couple weeks ago when he came back from mono, we were like, ooh, this guy looks like he might be able to play. And then it all fell apart. So they can't even get any momentum on the development of their quarterback. So it is an embarrassing situation with the Jets. But who am I to talk about embarrassment? I'm everybody to talk about embarrassment because nothing is more embarrassing than what's going on in this city right here with this football team. The good thing is it gets pushed aside by all the championship trophies.
Oh, all right, please. Thank you very much.
Can't wait to thank you.
You're not wrong.
You're
not wrong.
Let him enjoy it. Never going to happen again.
Well, hold on a second on embarrassment, because now we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, because they're challenging the Jets, they're challenging the Bears, they're challenging Washington in the race to destroy their fans' will, losing to Brandon Allen in his first career start, first career pass attempts. Beckham and Landry forced to change footwear during, or they wouldn't be allowed to play in the second half, and safety Jermaine Whitehead challenging fans to fights and worse on Twitter. This was 15 minutes after the game. He still may have been wearing his uniform while he was doing this. The Browns waived him today. Bill, I'm going to ask a similar question. Is this a rock bottom moment where you have to consider change?
Absolutely. The Browns are about everything but the football. They're about the cleats. They're about the tweets. They're about Baker Mayfield. How much has he shaved? How many times did he shave during that game yesterday? They're about everything but the football. If you look at their numbers this year, all the talent they have, every number and every stat is worse this year than last year. Worst record, worst points allowed, most points scored. They're worse than every conceivable category. It's about Freddie Kitchens. It's the wild card we said before the season. Everyone said it. Can he handle this team? Because he's the wild card. He's the rookie. No.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, the problem for the Browns, which there are many of them, but is that we all said that this second half of the season was where they could make up for early errors. They could try to get cleaned up those penalties, make good on the talent that they have, face up against worse teams. Okay, they cleaned up the penalties, didn't help. They're not using their talent. OBJ is 126th in the league in red zone targets, and he's got one touchdown on the season. And they played a guy who hadn't started in 42 months, and they still lost. There's any number of teams ahead of them on the schedule that we counted as easy W's, and now you have to say, are they even going to win those? So, yeah, it's pretty rock bottom.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, and the big problem with the Browns is that they have all this talent that we just expected would show up on Sunday and win games. And now you've got a coach who's showing up with this talent on Sundays and he can't win games. They have a defense that we thought was going to be pretty good this year, given what they did last year and the additions they made. And guess what? They're getting beat by a guy who hadn't been on the field. So they've got all sorts of problems. And between them and the Jets, I think this is a situation which is more likely to find you getting rid of the
coach. Frank Isola?
You know, Kevin mentioned talent, and look at the quarterback position. We don't know how talented he is. I'm not ready to write up his career, but he's got a long way to go. His numbers have been horrible. But I go back to that first game of the season where they committed all those penalties. They proved to be an undisciplined team. That hasn't happened. They're undisciplined in the locker room as well. It's a complete disaster. A lot of people question the hiring of the head coach. I think he walked into a very difficult situation, and it's not working right now. It's pretty clear that this team is not going anywhere.
Lasky 25, Spain 21, Blackstone 18, Isola 15. There's our horn, buy or sell next. Here's a play where the guy in the midst of a 91-yard run is the second most noticeable thing of the play. Look at Tyreek Hill
here. Look at Tyreek Hill.
And you're not going to tell me this was the fifth fastest anyone ran on a football field, according to Next Gen Stats. I don't believe that for 1 second. Buy or sell next.
In pads.
Feel the moment.
Feel.
Around the Horn is brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase, coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Chargers 26, Packers 11. Did Green Bay think they were on the bye? Sarah, your Bears had 9 yards in the first half. Green Bay had 50. Rodgers had 61 passing through three quarters.
This is a good slice of humble pie for us.
But he still maintains it's a good slice of humble pie, Bill. Do you believe that, or are you changing the way you view the Packers after yesterday?
No, it's a humble pie. It's a one-off. They came out there. It was so complacent for them. The fans are all Green Bay fans in the stadium. I was there. All Green Bay fans in the stadium. It was, you know, and the Chargers season was thought to be over with. They never took it seriously. They never focused. They were never in the game. I think they got 6 yards in the first quarter. They were never in it.
Okay. Sarah Spain, do you agree with Bill Plaschke there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is going to reveal something to us about the Packers that's going to end up, you know, making sense over the coming weeks. I think this was a one-off that involved travel, Chargers finding a run game, the spark of a new offensive coordinator. I also think the humble pie tastes a little better when the rest of the NFC North all loses. So you kind of chalk it up to like, oopsie daisy,
yeah.
We're still
fine. Their offense was about the worst they've had all season long, and it was still 10 times better than Chicago in the first half. Blackstone, how about you?
Yeah, it does seem like an anomaly, but, you know, the one thing I'll take from it is that if you're going to beat the Packers, what you got to do is control the clock, and they were able to do that. 38 rushes, 159 yards, held the ball for 35 minutes, kept Aaron Rodgers and that offense on the sidelines.
Frank Isola. Boy, excuses. It's a one-off. They're out in L.A. That's a terrible performance against a team that, frankly, is not very good. So they've lost to the Eagles at home on those plays fourth and one from the goal line, which was terrible. That's a bad loss yesterday. No excuses. Stop.
Bill, you said the crowd there was pro-Green Bay. I think it was about 80% pro-Green Bay. And you wrote the Chargers gotta go. That's what you wrote for the L.A. Times. Expound, please.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment for the league. It's an embarrassment for the team. The players deserve better. The fans will never going to embrace them in LA. It's been 3 years now. They've won games. They have a great atmosphere to watch games. The fans are all from other teams. There's virtually almost no Charger fans here. They need to either go to London, go back to San Diego.
They need to go to London. What do you mean by that?
They have a new building.
They need to go to London and be the Los Angeles London Chargers?
No, the London Chargers. That works. It's not working here. Even when you go in a new stadium, it's not going to work. There's no fans here. There's no acceptance of them by any stretch of imagination. And they're a decent team. They deserve better.
Buy or sell 2, Pittsburgh 26, Indianapolis 24. Mike Tomlin is going to keep on challenging plays until something went his way. What went his way were the laces on the football. And the Colts lose another on Vinatieri's foot. Sarah, bigger win for the Steelers or loss for the Colts?
It's a bigger loss for the Colts because of Jacoby Brissett, and we're not quite sure yet how long he'll be out. Previous folks with the same injury were occasionally out 3 to 4 weeks. This was a revelation for the Colts that Andrew Luck had a surprise retirement, and yet they still were able to win these games and play so well behind Brissett. That loss is way bigger than a Steelers win.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the other thing with the Steelers is even Mike Tomlin said it. He said, you know, being a 500 team, 4-4 right now, he didn't think he was going to be able to say that. There's not much he can do with this team going forward. But if Brissett is hurt, and hopefully he's not, that's a big blow for the
Frank
Colts.
Isola?
When you talk about culture, especially in that division, that's what I think of, the Pittsburgh Steelers. No Ben, no Bell, no Brown. Mike Tomlin, I thought he couldn't coach. 4-4. I think that's a great win. Pittsburgh.
And Bill Plaschke.
That's more about them.
I agree with Frank. It's about Tomlin. I mean, I challenge anybody to say who was their leading running back yesterday? A guy named Trey Edmonds. They have their playing with backups at all these positions. The team is to stay together.
Yep.
Give Tomlin credit for one.
Buy or sell 3, Florida State firing Willie Taggart after 21 games, 9-12. That's one thing. The other thing is in Mark Schlabaugh's report that the school raised $20 million from private donors to do it. Frank, how do you consider that?
I think the whole thing is obnoxious. It's obscene what they're doing with all that money. You hired the guy. At least let him finish the season. Maybe he can turn things around. If you invested this much money in him, you're giving up after 21 games? Come on.
Bill Plaschke?
All the things you could do with $20 million in North Florida, education, the homelessness, you know, the police and the fire that you can give to make a better community, and you do it to fire a football coach? He's that bad? Can't you just wait? Can't you just hold on to that? That's ridiculous. Frank's right. It's obscene, the amount of money people are spending. Have we lost touch with reality? It's a football coach. $20 million. Think what you can do with that money.
Sarah Spain?
The answer is yes. We've lost touch with reality, and there are any number of examples of times when money is given somewhere or donated somewhere that could be much better used elsewhere. What's interesting about this is not only do they have to pay that $17 to $18 million that they own, but they have to pay the buyout that Oregon and the buyout that Oregon paid South Florida to get him. And at this point, you'd expect them to believe a little bit more in a guy that they were willing to pay 3 school salaries for than 21 games and at least give him a chance to recruit and see what he can do.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, what's crazy about this is a microcosm of college football, the system that says that they cannot play college athletes. Yet, there are coaches around this country, just like in this situation, that have buyouts in the $10 million, $15, $20 million range that schools and their boosters have absolutely no problem coming up with that money for those coaches, but they can't come up with it for the athletes who play the game.
Just a football coach, for Pete's sake. Just a football coach.
Tony, buy me out. I want to get bought out.
I think we're all right just where we are right now.
He'll sell you out.
Last few Spain showdown next.
I think you're out either way, buddy.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Around the Horn is brought to you by CDW. CDW, people who get it.
Lasky, Spain, good luck in showdown. Saturday was the parade. Sunday was the Capitals game. Shirts optional. Today, the White House for the Washington Nationals. While Strasburg opts out, Zimmerman also free agent, and Rendon's offer pre-playoffs certainly not going to be the one he's expecting post-playoffs. Bill, what from the Nationals is catching your eye right now?
It's a celebration. You so rarely see baseball players let their hair down, show their personalities. These guys are taking off their shirts. They're pouring beer in their fans' mouths. They're messing with the trophy. It looks like they're real people having real fun. It's very cool.
First thing that caught my eye is that's definitely a fake trophy because they beat the heck out of that thing, and somehow it looks pristine. That's a fake. Secondly, Adam Eaton doing the TJ Oshie chug through the shirt at the Capitals game. Very on brand.
So you're saying there's a second trophy. Conspiracy theory with the celebration. I'm in the mood for some of that. Sarah Spain, here's a point. Showdown number two. When your chick-a-racing tricks absolutely nobody. This is Virginia Tech's kick return this weekend. I want you to show that down versus my favorite play of the season so far. Arkansas's fake punt from a few weeks ago. Sarah, what's worse?
Oh, it's got to be the first one. Everybody who's ever played in a turkey bowl or a co-ed flag football knows you got to stuff something in the shirt that looks like the football. They didn't even play it off right.
No, Arkansas threw a backfield pass against a full blitz on a punt. They threw the ball in the backfield. Arkansas is completely silly. At least Virginia Tech was trying.
You're 100% right about the turkey bowl, except it works for the turkey bowl, Sarah Spain. 30 seconds of FaceTime to Chicago. You've already got more yards than the Bears did yesterday.
Oh, woof. Want to shout out to Chris Bukowski of Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise fame, one of the owners of the Bracket Room in D.C., putting together this ingenious thing to get people to come in year-round, that if the Nationals repeat in 2020, you can bring in your receipts, and they will pay for every food and drink, minus tips, that you had the entire year leading up to their second win. I think this is super smart. And for fans who are thinking, no way I'll remember when I was there or what I had, just take a photo of the receipt right when you get it, store it in your phone, in the cloud. Come on back. You get all that free food and drinks if they win again. Brilliant.
Amazing that you're on the beat for non-Chicago City's bar discussion as well, Sarah Spade. You've got the receipts.
That's going
we'll see you tomorrow.